John is going to tell his story for us. But before he does, unbeknownst to John, I've asked his friend Keith, one of our elders, to share a testimony about John. Specifically, what a difference Keith has seen in John's life as John has come to know Jesus as his Savior.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for that opportunity, Matt, and thank you, John. You know, as Matt said, when you think about John, it's pretty hard to not recognize and find the words to describe that the love that this guy has for his family and his friends and the things that he does. So just spend a few minutes talking with him after the service and you'll see that. It'll become readily apparent to you for that. I don't know how long I've known you, John. 40 years, somewhere in there, 30 years, somewhere in there. Long time. We've known John a long time. If you've known John as long as I do, instead of water, you'd expect us to be pouring 10W30 over him or something this morning. You know, we've gotten to know him really well, I think, in the last few years, kind of since John retired and had some more time. And most would think that probably our common interest in cars and mechanical things and stuff like that is what's really brought us together since John's retired. But I believe it actually was the Lord, and I believe he used John in our lives, as well as hopefully us a little bit in yours, John. In the years that I've known John, and especially most recently, as Pastor described, John was always a very religious person. He spoke of God. Remember some of the trials he went through, coming and asking for prayer, your surgery, your heart surgery, certainly the things with your leg, and Saturday. John was always leaving in time to make sure he made it to Saturday evening Mass, and I think by his own admission, he would say, yes, I was a very religious person. But I think really in the last probably 12 to 18 months, what I've seen in you, John, is a real transformation that instead of just a religious interaction with God and that being that person that's out there, I've seen a transformation in your life and a real relationship now with Jesus. And you talk of Jesus as your Savior. And that's so exciting to us. I'm just so thankful for that. You talk with the Lord. You tell us about that. You talk about the Lord. And you know, even yesterday morning, you were telling me about talking with someone else about the Lord. And that's so awesome. That just makes me feel so happy for you. And I can see the change in your life. I see the opportunity that the Lord has given you to turn things over to him and really be calm about those things. So you've blessed us as much as anything, John, and I think everybody here at the church would say that. So your friendship, as we've said before, is great, but I'm truly honored and excited this morning to be able to help in this process with you and to be able to call you a true brother in Christ and share in this special day with you. So thank you for allowing me to be a part of that, John.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming. I was born into a Catholic, very, very Catholic-oriented family. Most of my relatives were very devout Catholics. I was raised that way. Baptized when I was an infant. Even a priest came to the house for a big shindig. That's how the Catholics did it years ago. And went to Catholic grade school, first Holy Communion, received the sacraments, confirmation, just everything a Catholic boy was supposed to do. Even went to Loretto up in Crescent for a seminar on becoming a priest. But that was just a little too much. And I just wasn't that devout in the faith. But raised my family Catholic. Had two sons, which part of my family's here today. My oldest son, John, his family, lived down in West Virginia and Maryland. They weren't able to come today. My oldest grandson, Kyle, has a little boy, James Holden. He's cute as Christmas. And his younger brother, Dylan, they're going to have a little girl next month, first girl in three generations, and we're real excited about that. My youngest son, Todd, who's a cop in Bellefonte, is here today with his beautiful wife, Bonnie, pro chef, absolute pro. The fellow that's in the bulletin every week, the airman out in Missouri, Cody, flew in. He's here with his girlfriend, Brooke. She's getting ready to graduate from Penn State, and she's going to move on to more education. My youngest grandson, Cy, works for Piedmont Airlines. He just finished, got off at 2 o'clock this morning, and he's here today with us. Last but not least is my buddy, my pal, my best friend, my wife, Jeannie. She's absolute my rock. She's been with me through rough times, good times. She's my A number one buddy. Absolute. No ands, ifs, or buts. I'm so blessed. Different guys say, well, you're lucky. I'm not lucky. I'm blessed. That's the word. I came here after the cruise in 2017 because I was real curious. I'd been to different cruises and people were just, you guys are examples of how Christian people should be. And I thought, where are they getting this? What am I missing all these years? 68 years as a Catholic. What am I missing? So I talked to Marilyn, found out what the schedule was for masses, and Sunday after the 17 cruise, I came. And I'm dead honest. I was absolutely blown away. I come home from church, and Jeannie says, how was it? And I says, I almost can't describe it. I said, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I says, I really, really got something out of this. I said, I want some more of this. And every week, the way the pastor would take his time and preach, and the people were caring, and they showed a true enthusiasm for, you know, can you understand this? I sit with a lady every Sunday. Her name's Tammy Beveridge, and I ask her questions every Sunday during the service. And she always answers them in a way I can understand. And they're always about church and different things and how you're supposed to look at things and how you're supposed to take them and digest them. She's helped me so much. And every week it just gets better and better. And after a year and 8 months, it's not tiring. It's not boring. It isn't like, oh, I got to get up early tomorrow. I want to sleep in. I don't want to sleep in. I'm here early every Sunday. I have a hunger now that I just can't quench. I can't, I'm starving for it. I was raised that you talk to Jesus and memorize prayers. I don't believe that anymore. When I first started coming here, I would go to Catholic church on Saturday night, and I'd come here on Sunday. And then I started weighing the two out, and I thought, I'm not getting anything out of Saturday night Mass. Nothing. And then when I let go of that and started coming here, then everything started to fall into place, and it was like, here's where I should be. This is where I'm getting my education. This is what I need. And it really became important. You know, till the end of the week, you were pretty well beat down, but then you came here and you got refreshed and you got renewed and you talked to Jesus in your own way. And once you start that, you don't stop. You just keep doing it. And me and him are on a first-name basis now. I talk to him all the time. All you have to do is trust in him. There's no barter system. Well, if you show me this, then I'll do that. It doesn't work that way. It's just trust. That's all. It's very, very simple. But it means so much. And I absolutely believe. And at first, it felt kind of stingy. Like I would say to myself, well, he's my personal savior. He's everybody's savior. But he really is my personal savior. Me and him are on a one-to-one. And I know that now. And it's the absolute best thing that ever happened to me. My dad used to say, too soon old, too late smart. And that's me. But at least I made it. My eyes are opened up now. My heart's opened up. And I know when I die, I'm not afraid to die. Absolutely not afraid. And it won't be, well, you go to purgatory and you'll burn there for a while. And if your heart's not 100% clean, if you're not 100% perfect, you're going straight to hell. It's not going to happen. It doesn't work that way. And that's what I was led to believe all these years. It's like there's no hope for you. And I often thought, well, how can anybody get into heaven? Nobody's perfect. We're human. I'm sure Jesus was tempted. You know, he only lived 33 years, but I'm sure he was tempted. He was human. He was human as us, so I'm sure he got the same feelings and temptations and stuff as what we do. I'm sure he did. And he got it straight from the devil, eyeball to eyeball. So I can't imagine what he went through. But this is the right way to go. This really puts something in your heart that you can absolutely count on. It's just an overwhelming feeling. And Cody and Cy and Brooke, you're here today. And I want to say something in front of all these people. And I mean this. And you'll remember it because it's coming from me. And I'm saying it right here in front of everyone. You three people are on the way up. You're young. You're going to go somewhere. You're going to do something. Put your hand out and take Jesus with you. And I mean that. He can be your best friend. He can be the best thing that absolutely ever came into your life. You think you got your whole life ahead of you. You're going to be 30 someday. You're going to be 42. You're going to be 60. Don't be like me. Next month I'll be 70 years old. It went so quick. Take him with you. Accept him. I'm telling you, it's the best thing you can do. He won't interfere with anything. He won't cramp your style. And if you think that he's encroaching on you, just pull back and look at the whole picture. He's trying to tell you something. You have to learn how to accept these signs. And believe me, the more you talk to him, the more you believe in him, you'll be able to read these signs, and they'll be for the good. Maybe sometimes you can't understand them for a while. And when you run through a rough patch, and believe me, you will, you'll be able to accept them a whole lot better. You just have to trust in him. That's all. Just trust. You might not get an answer in the next 30 seconds. Just be patient, and he'll give you that patience. Believe me, he will. It'll be the absolute best, most rewarding thing. And you'll be able to pass that on to your family, to your kids, to other people that you work with, that you're exposed to. That's what you're supposed to do. It'll be the most rewarding thing, and you'll feel good about it, and you'll feel a sense of worth that you never felt before. And I want to see you people in heaven. I know where I'm going. I know exactly where I'm going. And I want to see you guys there. Cody, I want to see that great big grin on your face. Every time I see you, you just light up. Si, you always give me a big hug. You tell me you love me. Brooke, you're drop-dead gorgeous. You're so pretty. You're so nice. You're intelligent. I want to see you guys. I just don't want you to waste your life. Material things come and go. Once you get it, you forget about it. Then there's something else in your life. There's another goal. You make Jesus your number one. Believe me, he'll fit in perfect. And you'll feel so satisfied. I just can't stress that enough. It took me almost 70 years to absolutely realize what was going on. And I was born in a religious atmosphere. And I didn't get it till I was 70 or 69. If I wouldn't have come here, I probably still wouldn't get it. It was just amazing. I just can't thank you people enough for showing me. And then I could absorb all this. But you have to make the effort, you know. I mean, God gave us a free will. You can do whatever you want. Put it to good use. Do something that is going to be constructive. Make your life worth something. Take care of yourself, number one. You're number one to him. Well, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. God bless you people.
John Nicholson Walter, are you trusting in Jesus Christ and him alone for the forgiveness of your sins and eternal life?
Yes, I am.
On your profession of faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father. And of the Son. And of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.